Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Bob Griswold from Many Ready Made Resources. Now, he is a supporter of Radio Liberty and helps us. But we try to have him on once a month or so just to talk about being prepared for the possibility of difficult times down the line. And those of you who listen to our program regularly remember when we had Igor Shafid on, and of course he had worked in the Leningrad School of Military Medicine. He had been trained in Russia for the coming nuclear, chemical, and biological warfare that the Russians honestly believe that one day will come in a great war between the United States and the Soviet Union. And if you honestly believe communism is dead, let me just point out that according to Holly Swanson, 4 months before the so-called overthrow of Gorbachev, Gorbachev was already taking out his papers to set up the Green Cross Foundation in California, where I live. In other words, it was all planned ahead of time. I mean, it was the only revolution we ever saw filmed in Technicolor on television all around the world with everybody speaking English so the people in England would really understand what was being said, where they sent soldiers to put down the revolt, but of course they didn't give them any ammunition at all to use, where of course the electricity was kept on, the television cameras were rolling. I mean, you know, ordinarily when you have a revolution, why, you turn off the television sets, but not for this one, because it was aimed at convincing the American people that communism was no longer a factor. And unfortunately, they succeeded fairly well. I think the average individual really believes that communism is dead. In fact, we never today even refer to China's communist China. It's just plain old China. Cuba is never communist Cuba. North Vietnam is never communist North Vietnam. And certainly Korea, North Korea is never communist North Korea. So by manipulation of words and ideas and taking ideas out of our thought, why we believe we are alone, we are the lone superpower, but the trouble is that the communists are arming full-time for war, and we're unilaterally disarming. Our anti-ballistic missile system couldn't even get off the ground when we tried it here recently. But even if it did get off the ground, it really wouldn't do any good, because we've only got 20 anti-ballistic missiles against the millions, the thousands that the Russians and the Chinese could throw against us. And why would the greatest nation in the world spend all of its money on unimportant things and nothing on the defense of America? America spends more money for defense than the next 20 nations in the world combined spend for their defense. And yet we have no defense system to protect us from anti-ballistic missiles. We could build one in the year 1970. Oh, we had an anti-ballistic missile system then. We disbanded it in 1977. It was just too expensive to keep up, but we can't figure out how to build one now. And if you believe that, you believe anything. Well, with us this evening is Bob Griswold. Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing fine. And of course, Bob specializes in teaching people how to prepare themselves in case there is some sort of an emergency. And he's got a great catalog, and it's got just about everything you'd ever want to need. Well, anyway, why don't you talk a little bit about that, Bob?
Well, our catalog is it's 150-plus pages, and it carries everything from, you know, food storage, which I think...
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, I guess this evening, Bob Griswold, go ahead, pick up the story there.
I think, you know, we can see now, we've had five major storms hit, you know, Florida. We've had this unbelievably massive earthquake and tsunami in the on the Ring of Fire, which is the Pacific Basin. We've now, I think, you know, in California, have had some torrential rains. you know, there's so many things happening, Doctor. It's hard to keep touch of them all. But again, like I said, in our catalog, we have the food storage, which I think anybody who's thinking today should have at least a month's worth of food for their family on hand, preferably a lot more. It has solar energy. It has, you know, a lot of homesteading supplies, water filtration, back-to-basics type equipment, books, videos, you know, communication equipment, surplus equipment, protection from NBC, nuclear, chemical, and biological. And I think this week in the Carolinas, there was a train derailment where they had chlorine gas released and they had to evacuate a whole city of people. And they could not go back until they had protective equipment. Well, you know, there were 9 people that died there. If you have protective equipment when that happens, then, you know, you are going to be safe. I tell people this. There are biological weapons or chemical weapons that go through our towns every single day, and we don't know about it. It goes via rail. Those rail cars can carry hundreds of thousands of gallons of very toxic gases. And so if they go through your community and one turns over, what happened in the Carolinas and what happened in Knoxville, where I live, a few years ago, where Sunday morning one turned over and they had a chlorine gas spewing all over everyone. They had to evacuate 40,000 people. Again, the need for, you know, protective equipment. But that's all on our catalog. And there's also a lot of useful tips in there, how to do things, how to become self-reliant. And again, the catalog, if people are interested in it, it's $5. Which we do refund if they ever make a purchase. And again, I'm going to ask that, since I'm the only one here this evening, if you call, our phone number, I won't answer till after the program, which is 800-627-3809.
800-627-3809. So, okay, fine. Of course, our guest this evening is Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. We're just talking about the preparations that people should really seriously think about having on hand. Now, many people, of course, did make preparations for Y2K, and I think that was a wise thing to do, because I will tell you that the government and industry spent literally billions of dollars fixing the Y2K computer bug before the stroke of midnight there, that as we came into the year 2000. But anyway, be that as it may, they also utilized that to wire the world for uniform control. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Griswold with Ready Made Resources, and he was just saying, talking about the catalog that they offer. And their catalog has food and water filtration devices with it. It has certainly solar devices, has all sorts of meters, surplus equipment, everything you would really want to have if you were under a threat of attack or if something should happen, a natural disaster. Certainly up in the Sierras, why people are glad that they have things laid in. I talked to some people in Reno the other day. We were going to be doing a program with them, but they live in Sparks, but they couldn't get from Reno to Sparks because there were 3 feet of snow on the ground, and there was just no way to move their car. But as the man said, we've got lots of food laid in here. We've got our flashlights. We've got our radios. We're quite comfortable. But what about the people who don't have the preparations made, who haven't thought ahead, and the calamity comes and they're not prepared? Well, Bob offers a catalog, and it's, what is it, about 150 pages, Bob?
It's 155 pages, yes.
All right, fine. And again, that telephone number, if people would like to get the catalog.
It's 800-627-3809, or they can go to our website, and they can go to readymaderesources.com. That's R-E-A-D-Y. M-A-D-E-R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E-S, all one word, readymaderesources.com, and they can drop me an email from there and order it. Like I said, it's $5, which covers the cost of the postage and printing it, and then if you ever make a purchase, doesn't matter when, we give you the $5 credit back. So if you're interested, if you're serious about it, you know, the $5 will be refunded at your first purchase. And again, it is a very, very thorough catalog. One of the things I like to tell people is I've been doing this for 11 years myself. We live on a homestead. We practice most of the things that are in our catalog ourselves. We run on solar energy. We do our own agriculture. There's a lot we do. We raise animals. And so we've had a lot of experience. So people that are looking to get set up, say a solar system or something to that effect, we have the hands-on experience that we can help them out, and we're glad to do so. We think the more people that are ready for this, the better it will serve our nation. That the people that do not have to pull out of the system. You think of that. When an emergency happens, you have so many people trying to pull out of the system at that time, which creates shortages and panic and all those things that happen. Pull out of the system ahead of time, and you really are serving national security, because that way the people who really do need this stuff might be able to get it at that point, whereas those of us who can maybe set something aside ahead of time can leave what's left in an emergency to those who really could not get it.
Well, there's the things that people need. They need food. They need water.
Yes.
They need shelter. They need a means of keeping warm. They need some elementary first aid supplies. You know, and if you have a place, you know, you can stay. People say it can't happen here. Well, I would think that this would be a very, very foolish thing to think about. Certainly, we've seen these tremendous storms there, you know, certainly down in the Florida area. But I'm really much more concerned about my personal belief that when a nation turns against God, God eventually withdraws his protection from that nation and terrible things happen. We only need to, of course, talk about what's going on over in Iraq today. And, of course, is your son over in Iraq?
Yes, he is. We pray for him. He should be coming home shortly. But, you know, he is there, yes.
The thing is, if you read about what's happened in Fallujah over there, you know, they've just destroyed about half that city. I mean, these were people who were living there. These were their homes. They'd lived there all their lives. And we decided that we didn't like some of the people in that city. There were some people there that, you know, didn't like America. They were very resentful of the fact we were there. And so we went in to clean them all out. Anybody who opposes us is going to get killed. And that is what you do when you're bringing freedom to a nation. And we're going to have elections there at the end of this month. Does anybody really believe that the average person in Iraq today is really concerned about these concepts of democracy? I mean, they have never had a democracy. Which one of the Arab countries or the Muslim countries is a democracy? None of them are democracies. That is not part of their culture. Now, I'm sure a lot of the people would like to be free, and a lot of the Muslims have come to America to get away from the situation over there, but I'm just afraid that when you go into a country and you try to transform that country, why, you lay yourself open for terrible problems. Samuel Huntington wrote a book. Samuel Huntington, professor of history at Harvard University, wrote a book called The Clash of Civilizations. And I recommend that everybody get a copy of the book. We don't carry it, but you need to get it and read it. And the one thing he warns is, do not go into another country and try to force them to conform to your way of thinking, because they're going to resent it, they're going to hate you, and of course you are going to inflame not only the people in that country, but if you go into a Muslim country and try to change it, you're going to inflame the entire Muslim world. And I would like to suggest there are far more terrorists today than when we attacked Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda was a very, very small organization. It didn't have that many people. It's recruited an awful lot of people now, filled with hatred, and especially as we show those pictures of Fallujah all over the country, we show and all over the Muslim world, as we show the pictures of what happened at Abu Ghraib all over the Muslim world. I mean, how would you feel if somebody came into our country and wanted to convert us forcibly into the Muslim religion, or wanted to force us into their way of life? And I think we'd be very resentful. Well, I believe, of course, that terrible things really lie in store for America, because there's no outcry on the part of the good people in this country about some of the atrocities that have been carried out over in Iraq in the name of bringing freedom to the people. If we wanted to bring freedom, we should have taken Saddam Hussein out and then pulled out of the country and let the people there, or split it into three parts, actually, and let the people in those three parts set up their own independent governments and let them, you know, work it out among themselves. But when we go in there, we try to impose it. Why, one of these days there's going to be a blowback on America. And that's why I think that everybody listening to this program should begin to get prepared. Wouldn't you agree, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Doctor, I was thinking, you know, in the last century, the 19th century, the 20th century, you know, the policy was make the world England. And you see that when England went into Africa and these other places with their colonialism, they finally were driven out, and horrible wars followed after them driving out. Civil conflicts that lasted all the way up to the end of the 20th century, and there's some of them are still going on today. because the fact of colonial power going into a nation and trying to imposing, you know, let the world be England, which they did, it really was a tragedy of just of millions and millions of lives that it cost. These people do not know what democracy is, and we think that everybody likes democracy, but not everybody wants democracy. In fact, our founding fathers did not want a pure democracy. They were scared to death of a pure democracy because they realized in the long run it was mob rule. They wanted a constitutional republic where law transcends people. People do not have the right to violate the law no matter what they try to vote, and that's what they understood the republic was. A republic is a nation of laws. A democracy is a nation of people, and a huge difference between the two. If we're doing anything, we should try to give them a nation of laws, not a nation of people. And that's how I feel about that. But again, you know, there's just one of the hot spots that we have. We have people running around now all over the globe. The arms proliferation, they will attack us. We will see it again. There's no doubt about it. Armed conflict is going to continue. These massive storms. You know, I was watching a program. They've already put a program on Discovery about this tsunami, and they're saying now that there's an island off the coast of Africa that has a volcanic eruption going on. That what the possibility is that the massive amount of land might shear off and fall in to the eastern Atlantic, which would create a giant tsunami that would hit our coast. That's a possibility. And I was watching that, and they said the wave could be much, much higher than what went through Indonesia. We just live in an unsafe world. And to think that we can just always go down to the grocery store, we can always turn the spigot on, we can always get everything we need, that it's going to be that way. The people in Indonesia, and God help them, and I mean that seriously, because they never thought that would happen to them. Nobody ever thought something like that could happen. And it happened in an instant, and millions of lives were changed instantly. And the point, the time to prepare was long gone after that. You can't get it. In fact, the demand on the portable water filters such as Katadyn, the one we were offering, you know, with a free water test kit. And I'll go ahead and extend that again. You get the Katadyn Combi filter, which takes chemicals and bacteria out of the water. We include a free water test kit with it. And we have it for a special of $139. But again, those things now, you can't, they're being drawn all over to that part of the world because everybody over there needs one.
Well, I thought it was so interesting, Bob, when they had the hurricanes down in Florida. You, of course, carry various types of generators, but the Honda is certainly the most popular. And there just weren't any. They were just suddenly, the supply was dried up, what, for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, again, a couple of weeks. But that's nothing compared to what I think we will see. That was a temporary disaster, but we're seeing them, I think, you know, coming, it seems like, at a faster pace, and I believe we will continue to see that. Plus, there are so many other things, the depletion of the food resources that we have, what we've done with our agricultural system, I think, you know, people tend to look at things like we've always seen them. And how quickly it can change, and I believe how quickly it is going to change.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or if you're out there, here in the Central Coast of California, our telephone number is 464-8295. So if you'd like to give us a call or like to talk to Bob, if you have any questions, certainly he's a specialist as far as planning for emergencies is concerned. That's what he does for a living. He has the catalog and all the things that you really need to know. And I think people are foolish not to make preparations. I think that people should be making preparations financially for difficult times. I think that they should be making preparations just in case why there are shortages of food and other things. Certainly, we live in a utopian world. Different than any other country in the world. America has certainly been greatly blessed by God. But America has rejected God. I think you can only look and see what's going on today. Recently, a superintendent of schools was fired back in Missouri because he said he would always, of course, use the word of God in everything he did, and that's not allowed in America any longer. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Bob Griswold, and of course we're talking about general preparation for what lies ahead. So, Bob, are people really looking and making preparations? Are most people, as usually happens before a major catastrophe or event, are just saying it's never going to happen? Are people making preparations, or are they sort of sitting back and take a let's-look-see or wait-and-see attitude?
Well, I think the majority of people are definitely doing that. However, there are people that are preparing now. We have noticed a definite upswing in the last couple of months, but not very much. I mean, again, you know, the people that make long-term food storage could produce maybe 5,000 to 8,000 one-person, one-year food supplies a year in this country, a month. 5,000 to 8,000 a month. That's all of them put together. Now, you think of that. 8,000 a month, that's what they could put together. If there was a national calamity, you'd be having 8,000 people an hour trying to call to get that food. And that's how many they can make in a month. So, and again, the fact is, when it happens, it will definitely be too late. And so that's what I tell people now. Think about what you need. Think about what you use on a day-to-day basis. And then from there, you know, make your plans, because I don't think we as Americans could have any graver warning than what happened a world away, and see those people now without drinking water, without food. Emergency supplies are trying to rush in, but still they're not going to be there in time for many, many people.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is that apparently the supplies are getting there, but they can't get them distributed. And this is the problem with it. Roads are out, why they can't get the trucks in. And, of course, the food can, you can have all the food you want to in a major storage depot, but if you don't get it to the individual, the people who need it, why, this is where the real problem results. And, you know, of course, it's only for a distance, you know, away from the ocean where the direct effect of the tsunami was, but you're talking about 5 million people who don't have any homes any longer. I mean, yeah, that's an awful lot of people. It's going to take, you know, a long time before they're ever able to, you know, recover from this terrible, terrible problem. These people now suddenly don't have their money, probably most of their money in their banks, and a lot of the banks aren't there. Or, you know, maybe they didn't have very much to begin with, but now they have even less. So, you know, the people who, you know, prepared, certainly they're not doing fine, but the people who are not prepared really are simply victims, and they're hoping against hope that the supplies are going to arrive in time.
You know, and it really is amazing to think that we expect what we have to continue forever in the light of the fact that we, as you pointed out earlier, that we have violated and are violating every one of God's laws today, with impunity. We don't even think about it when we do it. We just think it's natural, and we call it a freedom. Perversions that are called freedoms. The death of infants are called freedoms. The expression of oneself in vile and profane manners are called freedoms. And then anybody who stands up to that and says this is wrong, they're the ones that are ostracized anymore, and they're vilified. Narrow-minded, and we think that we can continue down this path forever without any effects. Well, we are seeing them today. I think there are things that are happening, and those who are really discerning will see that.
Oh, hold that thought for just a moment, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you know, one of the interesting things, most of the people, of course, are well aware of Judge Roy Moore, the judge, chief Supreme Court judge in the state of Alabama. Of course, he was elected by the people as an elected office, and he put out the Ten Commandments there, and as you know, he was removed from office, but it really was not because of the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments monument. It was during the trial when, of course, William Pryor, the Attorney General, who incidentally had sworn, promised Bob James, the governor of Alabama, that he would support the Judge Roy Moore, that under all circumstances he would support Judge Roy Moore. But then he got an offer for the Bush administration he couldn't turn down. Because William Pryor, who have destroyed Judge Roy Moore's career, has been rewarded by the Bush administration, by the Christian administration, for fine work done in destroying Judge Roy Moore by being given a interim appointment to the federal bench. In other words, he couldn't get William Pryor through the Democrat controlled Senate or dominated Senate, or there were just too many objections, so he now holds a federal judgeship. But during the trial, what William Pryor said, the Attorney General said to Roy Moore, is if you were reinstated as the state Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, would you persist in acknowledging God? And Roy Moore said, of course I would have to acknowledge God, because that is he's acknowledged in our state constitution, and all laws come from God. William Pryor said, well, we want to make this very clear. Well, let's understand this. If you are reinstated, you would then continue to acknowledge God? And Judge Roy Moore said yes. He asked him a third time, would you acknowledge God? And he said, I would. And that was why, of course, they impeached Judge Roy Moore. It was because he was going to acknowledge God. Same thing happened recently in Missouri. You haven't heard about it, of course, because the media has blocked this out. But this was a school superintendent doing a wonderful job. Everybody loved him, but he acknowledged God publicly. His crime was acknowledge God publicly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, many of you in the listening audience are Christians, and those of you who are not, I certainly know that America was founded by Christians, and it was acknowledged to be a Christian nation. In other words, the foundations of our nation were built upon an acknowledgement of God, and of course, this is found, you know, in the Declaration of Independence. Only many of our schools won't allow that part of the Declaration of Independence that talks about a creator even to be mentioned in class, and it's been deleted from many of our school books. Does anybody out there in the audience honestly believe that God is going to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to what's going on in America today? I don't think so. And I think we only need to read history to know that any time a nation is turned against God, God eventually brings terrible vengeance to that nation. Can we avoid that? Well, not without a tremendous revival. I don't see any sign of it, because the church certainly, I believe, has abandoned its responsibility to speak out against injustice and against this sort of thing. And, of course, we find most of our conservative Christian leaders are backing the Bush administration, despite the fact that they backed the man and gave an interim federal judge appointment to the man who destroyed Judge Roy Moore, William Pryor, who three times asked Judge Roy Moore if he would continue to acknowledge God and then called for his impeachment. So remember, of course, reality is usually scoffed at, but illusion is usually king. Or as that Roman philosopher said, all the people believe that religions are true, and all philosophers believe that religions are false, but politicians believe that religions are useful. Politicians believe religions are useful, and I would like to suggest that they're using the Christians of America to push an agenda, and that agenda, of course, does not honor God. They may talk about it, but do not judge people by what they say or what the media tells you about how pious they are. Judge them by what they do. And remember, William Pryor is now Judge William Pryor, and a former Judge Roy Moore is no longer a judge. Why? Because he insisted on having the right to acknowledge God as a Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. So anyway, Bob, you know, as we look and see what's happening, I really tremble for my country. As Jefferson said, when we reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever.
And you know, that's the thing, as people, Christian people, we should know that. The problem is our pastors aren't telling us this. You know, we're hearing different kinds of things that are from most pulpits in America of good times ahead. And if we only read the Bible and understood the nature of God in history, world history, we'd understand that we cannot continue this way forever.
And now I'm just going to tell our listeners we're going to have to take a break. When we do, when we get back, we're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Griswold of Ready-Made Resources. And, of course, we've been talking about what's going on. Go ahead, pick the story up there, Bob.
Well, again, you know, I don't want to belabor the point, but what have we seen this year? We've seen natural disasters, really, on a historic level. From what I understand, and Doctor, you might know this more than I do, that after 1962, did they run down the Richter scale 1, so that actually a 9 today is what a 10 used to be? That's what I've read that. I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know if that's really true or not, but I will tell you that everything I'm hearing tells me that there are more and more earthquakes today than ever before, and it's not simply because we have better equipment. But the magnitude and the number of earthquakes worldwide seems to be progressively increasing in number.
It does seem that way. But again, natural earthquakes are only part of it. I think what we've done to our agricultural system, I think if most Americans knew, and they can go to a website called the Ark Institute, it's a friend of mine, Jerry Guidetti, and they can read about this on her website, how, first of all, we are tinkering with the actual genetics of most of the seeds in the United States, so they won't produce true to form. Some of the seeds they're working on now won't produce unless you use their proprietary fertilizer. And again, the way we do harvest most of the crops in the United States, the topsoil has been totally depleted where there's nothing left. The food value in the food is almost destroyed to where you're growing things. They might be green, but there's no food value left in them. The oceans, you know, things we're doing there, overfishing and depleting that. All we have to do is look at it and understand that this cannot continue. You go to the water area, the amount of drinkable water on the planet is being, we're destroying it. And again, what is not being destroyed is being bought by the federal government where they have the rights to it. And again, so you can't gain access to, you know, drinking water because it either has to come through the faucet, which again, I would not drink that because of the amount of people that become sick every year off of it, and the chemicals and fluoride, chlorine and bacteria that's in that water, or you're faced with buying bottled water. Now, I know you do the Big Berkey, and that's something that they can buy for they're in their house to where they can get clean drinking water from wherever. But if they have to leave their home, you know, the Katadyn Combi filter, they can take it and you can put it in a mud puddle, you can put it in a stream, a river, and it takes both the chemicals and the biological things out of the water. So that's something they also need to think about. Again, this train derailment brings home the point that if you have trains going through your neighborhood, they are carrying, you know, millions and millions of gallons and tons of toxic chemicals.
Well, that's all for just a moment, Bob, as we bring our stations right back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Bob Griswold. We're simply talking about preparation for the difficult times, which I do believe lie ahead. And our telephone numbers, of course, are 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we're hoping that listeners will at least start thinking about how they are going to have things on hand. And those of you who listen to our programs regularly will recall that I went to a civil defense meeting here about, 4 or 5 months ago now, and I was amazed. This is the largest civil defense organization in the entire country. There were 15 people there in the morning and 25 in the afternoon. That included the speakers. But what was really most shocking to me was one of the people there, we were talking about FEMA, what is FEMA going to do, and some woman put her hand up and said, I am from FEMA, I am a FEMA, I am a Office of Homeland Security specialist, and I am with FEMA, and we work for the Office of Homeland Security. We have no plans in case there is a major attack. You are going to have to start making plans for yourself. She said, I came to this meeting to see what plans people were making to look after themselves, and I don't see very many plans being made. And that is the big tragedy. You see, one time we had a very active civil defense program here. We had massive food supplies. We had 400 mobile surgical units or hospital units. It could be moved anywhere in the country. We had massive supplies of the things you would need in case of a cataclysmic event, whether it be a nuclear attack or chemical or biological or simply, you know, something like happened down in Florida. Well, this has all been abandoned. The Office of Civil Defense barely exists with very, very few people in it. The supplies are very, very limited. But the average individual really doesn't understand that. And we've got so much away from being self-reliant. At one time, the American people were self-reliant. You had the idea, we're going to have to look after ourselves and after our family and after our neighbors. And the neighbors would work together for self-reliance. And that whole concept is just gone by the wayside. Now we look to the government to provide for us. And as Bob was saying, increasingly why we're finding now that there is a conscious effort to control the water supply so that we will not have ready access to water. And, of course, they're selling this to the private corporations. And, of course, so much of the water, as you know, is contaminated. They're fluoridating the water because it has a pharmacological effect on the brain, and it may sound absurd to you, and yet if you look at the scientific studies, and there's been organized effort to conceal this, the journal Fluoride has been published since 1968 at least. It is peer-reviewed, but it's not allowed on PubMed. Why? Because there's an organized effort to keep this information, much of it, off the Internet. Now, you can actually find it in good websites. It's there. But, of course, you need to know where to look to find the information, because the last thing they want you to know is that the fluoride in your drinking water lowers fertility, lowers testosterone, lowers sperm motility, that it actually has an impact on the mind, and actually it lowers the IQ, that it impacts on the thyroid, on the bone, on the endocrine system, on every aspect of the human being. And, of course, the reason that people get dental fluorosis is because they are poisoned, and 60% of our children have at least one tooth that's involved. When you get dental fluorosis, it's simply a sign that the rest of the body has excess fluoride in it. And fluoride is certainly the most active ingredient that we have, the most active element as far as its impact on the body is concerned. And, of course, it's a rat poison. So why are we giving it to people and putting in our toothpaste? Let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Hi. I had a question for Mr. Griswold. My question is, does the government have contingency plans to get Rumsfeld and Bush and all of them out of here?
And I think it's obvious they do. They have contingency plans to protect anybody, because
right.
anybody, our government has spent. In fact, I actually was watching one of the programs on the continuity of government program, which is really a pretty secret program our government maintains. And as they were walking through one of the bunkers, you know, I could not believe this. I said, my wife is Roxanne. I said, Roxanne, come here, look at this. The same brand of food storage that I sell. Mm-hmm. was sitting on the shelves in their bunker. And I said, look at that. That's the same brand we sell. Now, the nice. Government has bought it for their people.
Right, yeah.
Had that food
yeah,
storage.
Of course.
And yet, you know, you're told, don't worry about it. We'll take care of
yeah.
you.
Well, they have to get the evil people out and then leave the good here.
Well, again, I think if you go to Dr. Stan's website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at the Georgia Guidestones, it really does say what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain humanity at a perpetual level of 500 million. Mm-hmm. That means about 6 billion people that
yeah.
they think are useless eaters or something, whatever. But they, I think that reflects their idea of what
yeah.
they think about you and me.
Yeah, right.
500 million people they want to keep the world population at. But yeah, there's contingency plans to protect every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one of them has a gas mask available. Every one of them has protective equipment. Every one of them has water filtration. Every one of them has a food supply.
Yeah, sure.
It's there for every one of them. We're told, trust us, we'll give it to you in time
yeah.
if you need it. Now, I think that's malarkey myself. I think
yeah.
it's an individual's responsibility, and I think it's a family's responsibility to take care of itself.
I would point out, Ray, that the neighbors of Dick Cheney were very, very upset because there were always these explosions going on there, and what they were doing is they were blasting out a bunker under Dick Cheney's home. Because, you see, Dick Cheney is a very important man. He was the
yeah.
CEO of Halliburton, and he's made an awful lot of money. In fact, he's even getting an extended salary from Halliburton. I don't quite understand that. Some people might call it a bribe, but
yeah.
oh no, it's simply an extended salary.
Yeah.
So he gets a salary from Halliburton, and he gets a salary from his vice president, and he gets all the goodies from a vice president, and the Secret Service, but they blasted out a bunker specifically for him, but not for his neighbors. Isn't that interesting?
But they won't get any goodies from God.
Right. Oh, you're right.
You know, that's the thing is that everybody will eventually get their just desserts.
Right.
But, you know, I look back on it. I think God wants us to preserve our lives. I don't think we're to be stupid about it. Obviously, as a Christian person, I have hope of an afterlife, that I will be with Him. But at the same point as that, He gave me this life. It's the only one I'll ever have, and I only live this one time, and I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm here to serve humanity. I'm here to be a witness for His God's love, a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so I'm not supposed to just have this fatalistic thing, well, if
right.
it happens,
yeah,
it happens. No, Noah took years to build an ark to save his family. And again,
yeah.
We just need to look at that example. They didn't think anything was going to happen.
Right.
They were having a great time until the flood came.
Right.
I mean, the history's filled with examples like that. Just the recent tsunami was another one.
Well,
those
yeah.
people were having a great time. Nothing like that had ever happened before. And then, bam, destruction on a
yeah.
catastrophic level that we've never seen before in our lifetime.
Well, Ray, did you have another question or comment?
No, but I think the tsunami had... I think God's hand was involved in that. I'm pretty sure.
I think God's hand is involved in everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you can... I don't understand it, not
yeah,
at all.
Nobody
but, you know, whether it'll open the that area of the gospel or maybe it's a warning for us, we don't know. But, you know, I think that one of the most fascinating part of the whole story of what happened over there was the animals. Did you hear about that, Ray?
No, I didn't.
Well, basically, there were no animals killed. A couple of turtles that couldn't get out of the way. But, I mean, all sorts of animals all throughout all that area, and none of them were killed. And about an hour before the tsunami hit, while the elephants started to trumpet, and of course a lot of them were chained, and of course they were being used for rides. Well, what happened was, just a few minutes before the tsunami hit, the elephants simply broke loose from their chains and started galloping off into the jungle, and many of them had, at least some of them had, riders on the back, you know, tourists. They're going to have an elephant ride, and you can imagine being on the back of an elephant who's racing off into the jungle, and you can't get down, and the trainer's behind screaming and yelling and trying to get the elephant under control. And of course, what happened was the elephants saved the lives of the people who were with them and
yeah.
the lives of their trainers, because they had a premonition. And you
sure.
know, there have been several articles published that pointed out that the animals knew in advance what was going to happen.
Now,
how could the animals be so much smarter than we are?
Well,
and they're not smarter than we are. God preserves those animals, and you can look up, if go to the internet, and I'm sure you can pull it down, but we have several articles that they appeared in all the papers, and everybody's saying, how did this happen? And of course, I think it's a very simple one-word answer. God,
yeah.
God. And the elephants escaped, and the people stayed behind. Because the animals knew what was going to happen. It was an innate sense. I mean, how can birds know where to fly, you know,
right.
As they migrate? How do fish know which river they came from?
Yeah.
You know, there are things that man can't explain, because between man's plan and time and God's plan and eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference.
Yeah, and one more thing. When they had the anthrax scare, I guess they all had to their Cipro and everything, and
I'll tell you what, Dick Cheney knew it was going to happen, because
yeah.
Dick Cheney and his whole staff started on Cipro on the evening of September 11th. Now, if they knew the attack was coming, why didn't they tell anybody else? And if they didn't know it was coming, why did they take Cipro, which is a potentially
right.
dangerous medication, because it destroys the connective tissue?
And you know, doctor, that anthrax that was used, you know, it you just don't grow anthrax in a jar and throw it out there. That is a very high-tech form of anthrax that was used. It has nanotechnology involved, where they take very, very, very small pieces of glass powder down to the nanite level, and they attach the anthrax to it. It's a very difficult process to do, and that way, even the smallest movement, the smallest vibration, you can't feel, makes that anthrax go airborne. Now,
ooh.
Somebody did not cook that up in their basement.
No, believe me, Muhammad Atta didn't do that, living in a motel room.
No.
Everything is being done to
yeah.
confuse the issue. The FBI can't figure out why. Well, because I believe this was military-grade anthrax made somewhere here in the United States.
It was military-grade anthrax.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway,
but
believe me, Dick Cheney's looking out after him. So
oh, sure.
He started on Cipro on that evening.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all I had to say.
Okay, thanks very much for calling, Ray.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, fine. Well, if our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I guess this evening is Bob Griswold, and we're talking about preparation. And if you're out there in the listening audience, whatever you do, wherever you get the material, at least lay in a supply of the things that you would think you would need. And we have an excellent book. It's called Inside the Red Zone. It's written by Igor Shafid, and he lists all of the things that you should have readily on hand. If there was a major cataclysmic event, you might not be able to leave. If you could shelter yourself, take care of yourself in your own home, you'd be a lot better off. If you couldn't, of course, you'd want to be able to take with you the things that you would need for temporary survival, because believe me, if there were a major cataclysmic event, you would see panic in this country. I think the people in Southeast Asia are far better off and prepared to take care of themselves than the American people have become so soft and dependent. And with this attitude, nothing bad's ever going to happen to us because we're Americans. And I would simply point out that, well, maybe things will happen because we are Americans. So go ahead, Bob.
Well, yeah, I can't help but agree with you, Doctor. And I think every argument is on our side. History is on our side. I think the weight of the scripture is on our side. And I think common sense is on our side. That I don't know what to say, because it's so obvious to me that we are headed for this. Again, you mentioned the fact that the atheist, you know, I've debated an atheist before, many of them, in fact, and I've asked them, why would it be wrong believing that there is no God? Why is it wrong for me just to pull a gun out right now and shoot you? And, you know, not one of them can answer that question. Well, it's wrong. Well, what makes it wrong? Well, there's no answer to that question without believing in a transcendent God who his laws supersede everything man has to do. Well, again, if you take that thought, and I debate anybody to call up and tell me why it's wrong to murder somebody if there is no God. You I don't think you can do it. If you take that and say, as a nation, we are going to incorporate that into our nationhood, that we cannot teach, we cannot instill God's law into people, what is there that's going to hold that nation together? Well, there will be nothing, because each person is going to seek to get the most out of it he can get. It's called social Darwinism. We were taught it in school. We're seeing that today in our nation, that in the cohesiveness that held our nation together, we have gone out of our way to disband it so that to make sure we as a nation cannot survive. And I think you understand that. I think many people out there will understand it. So in light of that, and in light of the fact that we're on a self-destructive mode, we see these natural disasters happen. We see enemies surrounding us that really are trying to acquire every kind of weapon that they can get to destroy us. I know we're, you know, going back to the same point over and over again today, but I think the evidence is obvious.
Well, I think it is too, and this is one reason why I ask you to come on, Bob. And I think that I'm hoping that many of our listeners will at least heed what you have to say, and whether they contact you or contact somebody else, the important thing is that they begin making preparations. And of course, we have people on talking about what's happening financially. And of course, reading today, Stephen Roach, who is the senior economist for Morgan Stanley, and certainly one of the most respected economists in the world. And a few weeks ago, he gave a talk talking about a financial Armageddon. It was a private talk, but it was actually up on the internet, although totally suppressed by the major media. Well, an article again at the end of this last week, where he talks about the fact that we are on the brink, the world is on the brink of economic collapse. Now, here is a senior economist from Morgan Stanley. You're not going to hear about that. Why? Because they don't want you to understand that the paradise that we live in, the utopia we live in, really, of course, is like Swiss cheese and beginning to crumble, you know, because they're just a very, very faulty foundation. And believe me, if this thing begins to fall apart, as Stephen Roach believes, he says we have a 90% chance of having a financial Armageddon. And if that happens, why, everybody who's put their confidence in their pension fund and in their annuities and their stocks and bonds and in material possessions is going to be tried and found wanting. Well, Bob, we're just about out of time. Why don't you get your website out and your telephone number again once more, and just tell our listeners once more about your catalog and how they can get it.
Okay, again, if people want to call and ask a question after the program, I'd be glad to help them out and work through a program for them. But they can get in touch with me by calling at 800-627-3809. Again, that's 800 800- 877-627-3809. My website, ReadyMade Resources, and that's all one word, ReadyMadeResources, ReadyMadeResources.com. There's a lot of free information on the website they can go to and download for free, some several books, a lot of information they can get for free, but they can contact me either way, through the website, or if they want to call me at 800-627-3809. I am going to extend the offer on the food supply. They get the 1 month food supply for $289, and that's the Alpine Air, which is one of the best pre-made food supplies in the country, for $289 for two people for a month. Or they can get the Katadyn Combi water filter with the free water test kit that tests for eight different problems in water: lead, bacteria, nitrates, and so forth. That'll go free with it for $139. And again, that water filter takes out both chemical and biological.
Oh, Tim, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question to offer our guest?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Well, you know, I'm not a Chicken Little, and I don't mean to contradict, but these natural disasters, you connect the dots 2 or 3 days after the man-made disaster, you got two more New World Order agents, George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. They got their face on CNN all weekend begging for money, and it's turned into basically a global Gestapo-type disaster. And, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And then I catch Jay Leno the other night. He's getting in on the act. They're trying to milk some. How much more can you milk this tsunami?
Oh, well, they're doing a pretty good job of it. And
so
I think, of course, that there really is a terrible problem, and I think these people, you know, need help. But you sort of wonder sometimes if they're really just trying to get as much money out of the people as they can.
Well, how would you know the cost? And how would you know how many deaths? Do you have a grid or what? Now, I know that the CIA, they operate international, from the Canary Islands to Bangkok. They can control and do any kind of tidal wave or hurricane or whatever you want. So, I mean, I'm tired of hearing myself talk. It's a new year. What are the men? Let's get something together here, men, and make some kind of plans, because we just can't sit around here and watch this happen.
Okay, fine. Well,
thank
I appreciate
you,
so much your calling, Tim.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so very much. And, of course, that was Tim calling, and, of course, Tim wonders if this might be a man-made issue. There are methods of creating problems, but we don't know whether this was an act of God or whether it was man-made. I suspect it was an act of God, though, and I'm certainly not going to make any claims that it's man-made unless we have actually some real evidence of it. But there are many, many strange things going on in the world today. Chemtrails, certainly they are doing aerial spraying for whatever cause. I'm not certain. Some people say it has to do with certainly the global warming, and they're trying to reflect, or maybe they're trying to create global warming. After all, if you put this haze up there, why, of course, you trap the heat down below. But whatever it would be, why, of course, we're in real trouble as a nation, because, as we've said, we've turned our back on God, and I believe we've allowed very evil men to come into positions of power. Bob Griswold, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Bob? Well, I guess we lost Bob there. Well, anyway, so... Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners of Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that some of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or maintain your support for us so that we can continue doing what we do 5 hours a day. As we talk on radio 5 hours a day, on the Internet 5 hours a day, on a satellite 5 hours a day, on shortwave 5 hours a day. And the listening audience is growing, and we're reaching more people and making them aware of what's really going on. And, of course, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, it's as simple as calling 1-800-544-8927. When you join the Radio Liberty family, you get our four best audio tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter. Now, if you'd like to get a free copy of our November newsletter, which goes into the fluoride issue and the documentation of the fact that fluoride, water fluoridation affects fertility, affects testosterone level, sperm motility, lowers intelligence, actually subdues the mind, makes people less aggressive, the fact that it attacks the thyroid, that it attacks the bone, it increases the incidence of hip fractures, and of course it attacks the endocrine system, leads to early amenorrhea for young girls, attacks the endocrine system, delays the eruption of teeth, all sorts of dramatic physiological responses from fluoride, and the average individual has no idea. If you'd like a free copy of my newsletter, the November newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know a way of getting the fluoride out of your drinking water, why, give us a call at that number, 1-800-544-8927. We carry the Berkey products, the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. And, of course, you can get post filters that will remove very efficiently the fluoride from drinking water. And it's so important that people understand that this is a toxin they're putting in the water. We carry the book, The Fluoride Deception, by Chris Bryson, that gives you the documentation, the background of this. Of course, Chris doesn't understand. I think that the fact that there really are people who want the fluoride in the water because they want to decrease fertility, they want to decrease mental acuity, but he looks at it purely from the fact that there are people who are pushing water fluoridation as a means of getting rid of a hazardous waste material. Did you know that fluoridated water contains arsenic and lead and cadmium and polonium-20 and other radioactive materials? See, they don't want you to know these things. And there's an organized effort to conceal the truth from the American people. So you need to get the information. You need to help us get it out. We will have a new DVD here very shortly going into the background of water fluoridation. Got some great interviews with some people who are very, very concerned, well-educated people, well-informed people. And the problem is, of course, that your doctors and your dentists are being lied to. And as a result, of course, they're giving you information that is faulty. Go up on the Internet, pull down the material, go to keepersofthewell.org or some of the other sites on water fluoridation. And you'll find abundant evidence of the congressional hearings, of the testimony of the EPA scientists who desperately trying to get the truth to the American people, but because of the degree of control over the media, why their message is not being heard. An excellent book is The New Media Elite, written by Ben Bekdakian, who is the former dean of the College of Journalism up at the University of California in Berkeley. That's The New Media Elite, and of course it goes into the background of the fact that five mega corporations dominate the American media today and determine what the American people read and hear and see. We have four tape sets on water fluoridation, on mercury and vaccinations, on aspartame, MSG, and there's that NutraSweet. We have four tape sets on vaccinations. You need to get the information. You need to understand what's going on. You need to look after your family yourself. Because if you're dependent upon somebody else, of course, there can be catastrophic events occurring. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
for amber.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from the Sacramento area, Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Foundation, and Brad is on the front lines of this battle in the effort to really undermine Christian faith, the effort to really put Christianity into a defensive position. You see, there is an attack on Christianity today, an organized, orchestrated attack. And Brad, of course, is a lawyer. He had gave up an opportunity to go out in legal practice and make a lot of money, to take on a ministry, and of course he has other lawyers who are helping him, because not all lawyers are bad. There are good lawyers out there, or there are Christian lawyers out there, and many of them are working with Brad to help him, of course, as he tries to get the truth out, and of course to defend Christians who are under attack, or try to rectify some of the problems that we're facing today. Christianity is under attack, and thank goodness, thank God, we have Brad Dacus out there. Hi, Brad. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great, Dr. Stanley.
Well, tell us what some of the big issues are right now, because it's almost like we're being attacked on all sides, aren't we?
Oh, we certainly are. One of the most dramatic and important ones that we have just recently been asked to take on and get involved with involves the rights of parents to raise their children without having third parties that they don't want to raise their children. Let me give you the facts about this particular case. It's out of Utah, of all places, and it's about a woman who used to be involved in a lesbian relationship, but she became a Christian, and she decided to turn away from the lesbian lifestyle, and she had a two-year-old girl. And she decided that this lesbian relationship and everything was wrong. So she, you know, got involved in her church and said, I'm not going to have anything to do with this crowd anymore. And so it seemed like everything was going right. Well, her ex-lesbian partner, if you will, the person who was involved in that relationship, decided to file a lawsuit against this mother. And the lawsuit was for visitation rights, basically so that she could continue to be an influence to this little infant and to basically help raise this infant with a totally different moral values, totally different perspective, and which could be may have a major influence in the direction that this young little innocent little infant is exposed to. And so the suit was filed, and Dr. Stanley, and the results and the outcome were shocking.
Well, what was the decision?
Well, a judge ruled in favor of the lesbian and decided to grant the lesbian visitation rights at the objection of the natural mother, even though the lesbian had absolutely no biological relationship, no contractual relationship, no matrimonial relationship. This blows precedence it's a clear shock to the concept of parental rights to be able to raise their children as they see fit without third parties.
Well, we live in a world gone mad, Brad, where moral values and right and wrong seem to have gone out the window in the name of political expediency. We'll be right back with Brad Dacus. Well, Dr. Stan here, and of course, I think people have to understand that in any society that turns against God, why, you see homosexuality and various forms of perversion coming in. And people say we shouldn't refer to homosexuality as a form of perversion, but it really is a form of perversion. It is different from the moral status, and the homosexuals, in my estimation, are being used and manipulated in this whole thing. But there is a gay agenda, and that gay agenda is intent upon destroying the traditional moral fabric of society and this concept of men and women and family. And if they want to live their way, that's fine. We can't stop them in a free society, although we may disapprove of it. We're not even allowed to disapprove of it anymore. And ministers in Canada are not allowed to say that homosexuality is wrong, that the Bible says it's wrong. And we have new hate laws in California that certainly, if they are enforced fully, will actually make anybody who says homosexuality is wrong subject to criminal indictment. Now, is that the way things are in a free society? Brad, sort of pick up the story. What are you going to do as far as this case, this Salt Lake City case, with this woman who is now a Christian, who doesn't want to have anything to do with lesbians or homosexuality? The judge has said, well, she has to let the lesbian visit the child. There was no contractual agreement at all, nothing signed, nothing legal?
Right, absolutely nothing. The only thing is that this mother had this woman live with her, and this lesbian live with her, and that's it. And so because that was the case, that now the mother is somehow bound, and the child is bound to have visitation and a relationship with this woman, that the mother says, look, I don't want this for my child. That's what's so revolting. Here's what's really key, I think, Dr. Stanley, people need to realize, is that with existing law, and even in that court, if that had been, say, like this, a third party, say the mother had her 2-year-old child and decided to let some lady who needed a place to stay, whatever, to live with them for a period of time, there's no way that woman, if she left, could sue for visitation rights. I mean, there's absolutely no way, because there's no biological relationship, there's no legal relationship, contractual and matrimonial relationship, there's nothing.
But don't you think that the court is trying to establish the legitimacy of homosexual partnerships and making them comparable to marriage? Because that's really what this is.
Right. Well, here's a real key, I think, if you really focus on it. The only thing that distinguishes this scenario with the lesbian versus one where a non-lesbian was there, with just a woman living there for a period of time.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Brad, as we bring our stations back with us.
Sure.
Well, Dr. Stan with us this evening is Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Foundation, and he's explaining this case, case in Utah. And, of course, could you just sort of explain for our listening audience how this case is different than other cases?
Yeah, what makes this so different? Because in the past, once again, if we have a scenario where you have a third party living with a mother and her child, that third party would have no grounds for visitation just because they're living there. Absolutely no grounds. But the only distinction between this case and those other cases with third parties is the fact that this case involves a lesbian engaging in a sexual perverted activity, and so the court has decided to specifically reward this activity and give them special privileges based solely upon them engaging in this perverted activity. And so you could have, you know, a sweet person, a nun coming in, living, caring for the child, really being involved, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They're not entitled to it because they're not the parent. But the lesbian who comes in, because she engaged in sexual perverted activity with this mother before the mother repented of her ways, because of that and solely because of that, she's entitled to this lifetime visitation, or until the child grows up and is developed with this little innocent little infant girl. And that's just so such a clear abuse of discretion, and a challenge to the basic fundamentals of liberty and justice.
Well, now, is there any opportunity for a civil trial, in other words, with a jury? Because if it went to a jury, of course, they would find against it. Well, it seems that in these family court situations, you have judges, and this judge obviously wants to legitimize the lesbian relationship and get, make it comparable to marriage. The judge is making a unilateral decision. Can that be heard by a jury?
Not in most family court matters like this.
Well, I think that, don't you think that family courts really are giving too much power to a judge?
Yes, I do. In fact, I think that juries would be the best way to go for family law court matters, just simply because I think the average person on the street is more likely to be able to see, to determine, and understand what's fair and equitable in many of these matters than especially with child custody. And what's best for the child than for some judge who is out of touch with what's really taking place in the common world out there and raising kids oftentimes. And so this is, well, needless to say, Dr. Stanley, we at the Pacific Justice Institute don't take this kind of thing lying down. We were contacted by our affiliate attorney in Salt Lake City about this, and he's asked us to write a brief to be filed for this case in addition to what he's already doing. And we're going to do that. But here's the real final kicker. We sent out our press release and we at the Pacific Justice Institute about this case and this case matter. And we got another call from another affiliate attorney of ours in Colorado, the next state over. And he asked us, Brett, you know, we want you to file a brief in our case because we're filing, our case is almost identical to the Salt Lake City one, except in our case, the Christian, you know, the Christian mother and all, she's went through the same thing, but our case is on appeal to the United States Supreme Court, and it's actually petitioned before the United States Supreme Court, so we don't know if the court's going to take it, but it's such an important case that we decided and agreed to go ahead and weigh in on that one, too, and to help with that case.
You wanna, Brad, what about the hate laws here in California? My understanding is that there's some new legislation that is being critical of homosexuality is to be a hateful crime, this criminalizing, disproving of homosexuality. What are the implications of this new law? Have you looked into that?
Yes, we have. In fact, our office has had two different attorneys look at it and analyze the language. And I have to, this may be surprising, Dr. Stanley, but this was a terrible law. It was a clear violation of the free speech rights, religious freedom rights of individuals, because the language is vague, it's broad, it can be abused. However, that said, I've been advising pastors, everyone I've been talking to when I talk to conferences, to let them know that this law on its face should not inhibit any of them from speaking and preaching what they feel is right and true from the Bible or what's in their heart. And the reason is because the language is vague enough, but it's not sharp enough, I believe, to be able to be used effectively to prosecute a pastor simply because of what he preaches behind the pulpit. I really honestly don't think it's worded that way. That said, you have an activist judge out there who decides to use the term intimidation and use the language in a way that's very stretched. And yeah, we theoretically could have that happen. I'd like to think we don't have judges that are going to read into the law something that's not there. But as we saw in Salt Lake City, that definitely could happen. But I don't think it's something that should compel anyone behind a pulpit this Sunday to keep from preaching what they're called to preach.
But of course, you may win the case, but you may be penniless afterwards because of the extensive, you know, legal fees that they can come after you with. And this is how they intimidate people and silence them. They're going to break them. Oh, you know, you won the case, but you lost your home, you lost your car, you lost your business, you lost your profession. And the other side has unlimited funds, a lot of it coming from the federal government.
You're right, absolutely. Now, one thing I would like to make clear also that we make clear to pastors, and that is in these churches, and that is that not only does Pacific Justice Institute say that they should go ahead and have the freedom to go ahead and preach that to share what they believe is right and true, but that we will represent them without charge in the event that they are prosecuted or their church has an action brought against it for simply proclaiming what the Bible says. And we stand behind that, and that's our commitment to virtually every person, every pastor here in the state of California and beyond, for that matter.
Well, and I that's one reason I have you on, because I and why we personally support you, Brad, is because you do this so that Christians can speak out on moral issues. And at least we are not as bad as Canada. We probably will be there before long, especially if we keep the current administration in power and the Republicans controlling both houses. You know, they are going to pass terrible, terrible things. You know, and the people don't understand that when you have a one party system in Washington, D.C., and you have people in positions of power who would actually give William Pryor an interim appointment to the federal court and reward for destroying Judge Roy Moore, and none of our ministers are speaking out against that. It really makes you realize how terrible a situation we are in America today. Well, Brad, I'm sure you have lots of cases where Christianity is under attack. What are some of the others?
Well, this is a real hot issue. In fact, Bill O'Reilly recently referenced it on his show. I have to admit he did so incorrectly, but he did reference it. And that's dealing with the fact that here in California, we have state attorney general, Bill Lockyer, who came out with a totally fallacious legal opinion of the law, stating that school districts cannot give prior notice to parents before a child leaves campus and has an abortion, you know, or some other medical procedure that could have long-term serious physical or mental emotional repercussions. His decision and his opinion is purely political. It is a joke as far as its legal credibility. And we already sent a letter to every school board member and superintendent in California to make that very clear. That the actual interpretation of the law. The law says the word may, so therefore giving school districts discretion as to whether or not they want to give prior notice to parents before dismissing a child for confidential medical services. That's the discretion of a school district. And, anyway, as it turns out, a number of school districts are in the process of weighing on this issue. Recently, the Roseville School District near Sacramento was deciding on this issue, weighing on this issue. We had one of our attorneys contact the school board members, make it very clear to them what the law was, and the parents flooded the school board meeting that night. And the good news is that school board decided to maintain their policy requiring prior notice to parents before any child leaves for medical services. That is just a good, solid policy, and we, of course, pledged to represent the school board without charge in the event that they are sued for their decision.
Well, I think what the people have to understand is that the purpose of this legislation, this purpose of trying to get, it's perfectly all right for a 16-year-old girl to go have an abortion without her parents knowing about it, is all part of this effort to drive a wedge between the parent and the child. The parent is responsible for that child. The child could not be, get an aspirin or anything else, you know, from the school without a parental notification, but you get an abortion. Why? Because, of course, they want to encourage, and they're actively encouraging sexual promiscuity on the part of our children and driving that wedge between the child and the parent, and the child will always have a secret from the parent.
Right. And I think it's real important. You hit the nail right on the head, Dr. Stanley, that we're not talking about privacy of the child, because the school district still require information on where the child's going, why are they going there, to have an abortion, what doctor, where are you going. They still require that information. So it's not about privacy of the child. No, it's to make sure that parents don't know what's going on. Not that the child keeps it private, but just simply that parents don't know. And that is the real rub that we have when you look at it from a civil rights perspective. It's not about privacy interests. It's about keeping parents out of the equation and having the liberal school counselor and the liberal administration of the school district making these life-changing decisions, potentially fatal decisions for children instead of parents. I give you an example, just one example. Say a child is a hemophiliac, and the parents know about this. The school doesn't. The child then goes without parents' knowledge to have an abortion, and they die because of it. That's just one of the whole list of kinds of complications that could come about with that kind of a very irresponsible policy.
But I think the major thing is that the purpose of sex education is not, of course, to promote chastity. It is promote promiscuity. They knew that when they went into it.
Right.
And it happened in Sweden when they brought this in, and to other countries when they brought in this permissive sex education that was aimed at destroying modesty, destroying embarrassment. Co-educational sex education classes were aimed at talking about sex and talking about sex and talking about sex. And then you wonder why children are beginning to experiment with sex. They know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, because they do have an agenda. Well, I guess this evening is Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Foundation. And, of course, is it the Foundation or Institute?
Institute.
Pacific Justice Institute. Well, forgive me. And so anyway, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want to support Brad as we do. And, of course, when we get all of our stations back with us, why, we want to get more information out there. Well, now, what's going to happen across the state? Do you think many of the school boards will have the courage to stand up against the onslaught of the attacks by the liberals who certainly want that child to be able to get the abortion, want to drive that wedge between the child and their parent? Because that's what so much of what's going on in our schools today is, don't tell your parents. Don't tell your parents. They won't understand. We understand, but they don't. And they're doing such a great job, and we wonder why we have so many mixed up kids. So what's going to happen across the rest of the state with this?
Well, the California Teachers Association, who are committed to keep parents in the dark and to control these children's lives and actually destroy their lives, as a bottom line, they're going to continue to do what they're doing. They're going to use Bill Lockyer. Bill Lockyer has absolutely no credibility with regards to his actually carrying out the job as Attorney General. Unlike Dan Lundgren, Bill Lockyer is a politician through and through, and that's why he came out with this ludicrous decision to placate the CTA, California Teachers Association. So they're going to continue putting on this false information. In the meantime, we at the Pacific Justice Institute are going to continue to provide the truth information with a quality legal analysis that shreds the completely decision of Bill Lockyer. And my hope is that school districts, when they have their legal counsel look at the law and look at our opinion versus that of the Attorney General, that they'll realize that the Attorney General is not correct, and that school districts still have what the law says on its face. That is, they have the discretion to require prior notice to parents before children are dismissed for these kinds of controversial and potentially deadly medical services. But let me give you an example, Dr. Monteith, Dr. Stanley. Tomorrow, another school district, the Eldorado Hills area near Sacramento, once again, they are going to be deciding this issue as well. And we have one of our attorneys, our chief counsel, Kevin Snyder, is going to be there. A state assemblyman has already weighed in to let them know that we're going to be there. And we're hoping that that school district will do what Roseville did. That is, they'll look at the law and they'll realize that they have a responsibility, a duty, to not be controlled by a teacher's union or anyone else, but to listen to their constituents and to do what the law allows them to do and what they think is right.
And I think the important thing is that the school board's supposed to represent the parents who vote for them. And, of course,
right,
the one thing that any politician hates is that people will find out how they vote. I would think that the members of the school board would be frightened to death if they realized that the public was going to realize that they'd voted against the parents and in favor of the educational establishment that's doing such a rotten job.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that if they're smart, if they're wise, they'll do what they know is the right thing to do. And if not, I think they'll pay, because I think the voters in Eldorado Hills, that area, they're aware of what's going on. They're active, they're involved, and I think they'll definitely hold them accountable.
Well, Brad, I'm just so glad that you're on the front lines of this battle, and of course you see what's happening all across the state. The average person sees only what's happening in their local community, and the really important issues are not the ones that we read about in our local newspaper. We maybe read about it if we're in El Dorado Hills or in Roseville, but these really important issues are not being covered. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute, and Brad is a lawyer, and he has other lawyers who work with him. But I want, Brad, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get your website, and, of course, if they're interested in getting more information, your emails, how they can get information from you, and perhaps if they feel so motivated to support you, because I personally believe Brad is doing something I don't have time to do. I don't have the expertise to do it, but that's why we support Pacific Justice Institute, because we really believe in what he's doing. We know Brad. He's a personal friend. He's been down on several occasions to speak at our conferences. He's doing a great job of representing everybody out there in the listening audience, not only here in California, but all across America, because believe me, as California goes, so goes the nation. So how can people get in touch with you and learn more about the Pacific Justice Institute?
Well, I tell you, Dr. Stanley, the easiest way is for them to go to our webpage, and there they can actually sign up to receive our press releases that we send out, about one a week. They're very short, but they talk about the actual cases usually that we're involved in, and it's just extremely eye-opening. And that our website, if people can take out their pen and paper, write this down, or they can go to it, it's www.pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org, or just simply pji.org. That's the other way of getting there, pji.org. And that's the best way they can sign up. They can also look at information there and keep up with what we're doing. And of course, if they want to sign on there to support us and become a part of our team, they can also do that there very easily.
Okay, fine. That's pacificjustice.org, and Brad does a tremendous job. Well, of course, this is an important issue because, of course, it's a parental rights issue. And I think that, you know, if you poll parents, I'd say that 95% of them would want to be notified if their daughter was going to have a pregnancy. Have an abortion. You know, the thing is that they might not approve of what happened, but that girl is going to need tremendous emotional support, you know, going through something like that, keeping it secret from your parents. Everything is sneaky, and it begins to create a real barrier between the child and the parent. It is exactly what the educational establishment wants. So what about some of the other issues that are out there, Brad, because I know you're involved in so many things.
Oh, you bet. Well, one of them I wanted to touch on is dealing with Child Protective Services. As you know, Dr. Stanley, we deal with providing emergency counsel to parents who have threats to have their children taken from them or be investigated by Child Protective Services. And once the children are taken, there's very little, frankly, we can do with our present legal system in California. We haven't reformed our laws, so like states like Texas and Georgia and Wisconsin. So in California, once your children are taken, it's extremely difficult to get your children back. So because of that, we provide immediate emergency legal counsel to anyone calling who has any kind of a threat at all. We don't say, call back tomorrow, or we'll get back with you in a few hours. We take it on immediately. If I'm on the road, they punch it into my cell phone or other legal counsel. Well, this is what happened just this last week. His father called me, and his name, I can't reveal because for confidentiality reasons, but was told that that his doctor wanted to give his child the Prozac, I guess it's the real, no, the heavy steroid drug, starts with a P. But anyway,
prednisolone. Is this a steroid?
Yes, yeah, so it's a real heavy drug for allergic reactions, asthma.
It would be prednisolone or prednisone, something like that.
Yeah, prednisone. That's it. Thank you. Prednisone, and so it's a real heavy drug. You know, it's a very strong drug. And this father says, "Look, we want alternative medical care treatment, and so therefore we don't want our child to have this." And the doctor, to cover himself, he calls Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services calls the family and says, "Okay, we're going to we want to interview you and talk to the child, investigate." Well, this father is smart enough, fortunately, to have called us. That someone in his church said, no, call the Pacific Justice Institute first, because we've heard that you should never, have your children interviewed by CPS, Child Protective Services, without first knowing what your rights are and know how to protect yourself. And so anyway, he contacted us, and I understand what his concerns are, because it's a strong medication, and some children have to have those, but this father was convinced to the contrary, and he knows other doctors that would not recommend it for his child. And so anyway, we gave him the emergency legal counseling needed to protect his child, which was basically to switch doctors immediately and have the other doctor issue an examination report protecting his children. And in the meantime, for him and his family to move out of their house into some temporary housing while they're getting that second opinion from the other doctor to close off the case.
Boy, what a terrible situation it is where you got to leave your home, where you got to, you know, but they take your children and you don't have a chance.
Right.
The way these courts are set up here for Child Protective Services in California, and they're going to get your kids, and heaven help your child. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to express my deep concern. I've talked to so many parents who've lost their children because of these Child Protective Services legislation. They talk about child abuse. Many times these children are taken away from their parents and put into abusive situations where they're sexually abused, and you've got no rights. In fact, you complain, and you'll never see your child again. How can they possibly do things like that in a free society? How did this come about? This is a nightmare. I mean, I've talked to parents who, you know, they get so desperate they try to kidnap their children to get them back again.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's so important for parents when a social worker is investigating their family, they need to leave their house. They need to vanish from the scene while they do what they need to do to provide the evidence they need to close out the case, which is to have their children examined by a doctor, examined by a psychologist that they can trust, and recommended usually by their pastor or their clergy, and to have those sent certified mail to the social worker and the supervisor to close it out, and then, of course, to refer the social worker to contact us if we're providing them with the assistance. We've done that a number of times, and social workers know that once they have a law firm like ours behind the parents, that they can't go anywhere with the evidence usually that's provided.
Well, I mean, the thing is that the federal government is subsidizing this whole thing. If they can,
right,
you know, they can demonstrate that this child, they can say the child's got problems. They get something like $25,000, you know, and this is, then they get more social workers and more problems and more attacks on the family. I mean, my feeling, talking to literally dozens of grieving parents, is that this system is really destroying more families than it's and destroying more lives than it's really helping.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in the overwhelming majority of the situation, the circumstances, the children don't actually have to be taken from the families. Now, they're financially rewarded if they're taken, so that's why they're taken. But they don't actually have to be taken. And in fact, studies have shown that children who are taken from quote-unquote abusive families actually suffer often more trauma and more harm than those who are left in non-life-threatening kinds of environments. Now, what needs to happen, there are some kids who do need to be protected whose lives are in danger. When the parents are drug addicts or into alcoholic abuse. But the situations we're dealing with don't involve those at all. Instead, it involves average parents who are either homeschooling or using corporal punishment, and the social workers are suspect and decide to move in on it.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Brad Degas. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Brad Degas from the Pacific Justice Institute. We're talking about child abuse, and I think that the greatest of child abuse is the Child Protective Agency. I like to call them the child abuse agencies, and Brad is simply saying that, you know, that in many of these instances, there are parents who are using corporal punishment, and the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't paddle your child. You can't discipline your child. You got to let them run wild, and then, of course, when they get into trouble, you're responsible for it. And parents who don't like them, the treatment that they're getting from their doctor, they don't approve of it. Instead, they get reported to child abuse, agency or child protective agency. In fact, anybody can report you to child protective agency. You have absolutely no rights once you get into the court system. What have they done in other states to try to get away from this totally abusive system, abusive to the children, abusive to the families. What have they done in Texas and other states?
Oh, you bet. Well, in other states like Texas, for example, what they've done is they brought back a jury. You know, if someone's accused of a felony or a crime, they're entitled to a jury of their peers. Everyone knows that, right? But in states like California, when it comes to losing your children permanently for the rest of your life, you're not entitled at any time in the process to a jury of your peers. It's just, and it's simply what the judge says. Also, in California, it's all hush-hush. It's all behind closed doors. There's no opportunity for public or media scrutiny with regards to this. And yet in other states, they've made it possible, maintaining that the identity of the child so it's not released, because you want to keep the child protected from, you know, peers and things, you know. But as far as letting the other facts and the general facts of the situation, other states allow that in. California, it's all hush-hush. It's worse than the Taliban. I'd almost rather have a Taliban tribunal, because at least I get three judges. But in California, I only get one, and they usually rubber stamp everything that these very liberal social service workers, CPS, decide to rubber stamp.
But because there's so much money there at hand, because, you know, if they can take that child away from you, they get all this federal funding. One of the big things you ought to do is take the federal funding out so they can't get $25,000 or so, you know, for taking that child away from the parent.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, in addition to that, you know, these social workers are able to basically tell the judge, tell the court, this is what the child said, and the social worker is not required to audio tape or videotape their interview with the child. So it's just whatever the social worker claims that the child said. And we've had case matters where the social worker has flat out lied and made up things that were not true, that the child says were not true, and yet the court just rubber stamps it. Another problem we have, like in states like Oklahoma, fix this, but in California they haven't. That is, in California, they're supposed to have a child go with their parents or their grandparents, you know, so that the child stays in the family area, you know, unit, and doesn't have any more trauma than necessary. But California, it's more of the norm to have the child not given back to the family or the relatives, but instead put with total strangers, and a large percentage of which, I might add, are homosexual couples. That's very, very common in California, and that's why it's extremely dangerous for parents and families not to act quickly to correct matters when they're assaulted or when they're in question by a social service worker.
And really the thing is that if you had a trial by jury, you might get a fair trial, but we've got judges there.
Right.
Many of them are homosexuals themselves, and many of them are very, very liberal, and many of them have an agenda. And it's almost like they want to destroy the families. In fact, haven't you run into families that have actually been destroyed by something like this happening?
Oh, I tell you, Dr. Stanley, yes, I have. And I've done many, many cases. We help many, many people in many circumstances, churches and parents and families. But those involving social workers taking children who are from good families, good children from good families, is what makes me cry. It really gets to my heart, and actually I have a hard time sleeping. I can sleep after the other stuff, but I have a hard time sleeping after these kinds of case matters, because they're so such travesties, and yet it's widespread in California. Parents need to realize that. Also, if they have their children in public schools, they may not realize it, but public schools are a very common tool by social workers to question children, interrogate children, and then sometimes, and often have the children taken while the child is at a public school. It's very common, and that's why children need to be very careful not to discuss their family or talk about their family with anyone at any time in a public school.
What a terrible situation we have here in California, and it's happened because the good people haven't been involved, the churches haven't been involved, and the wicked people have been able to take over the state legislature and pass these terrible laws. They really are. I believe they're immoral. I believe they're anti-God, because God ordained the family as the basic building block of society. And of course, that the family is under attack just as God is under attack. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And this is prevalent all across the country. I mean, I've got calls from the East Coast in this, and from the northern part of our country, and from the southern part, and from, you know, certainly problems here in California. And I think Brad certainly expresses it very well. You don't sleep well when you realize these things are going on. And yet, the average person out there has no idea what's happening until it's their child or their grandchild that's taken away and put into a facility where they're being sexually molested, and their very moral foundation is being destroyed, and you have no recourse at all, and your child has no protection. So these things are going on, and the average citizen has no idea. Well, Brad, what about some of the other things you're up against?
Oh, certainly. To switch topics a little bit here, because we could go all night on just the abuse cases of CPS and what they've done. But in addition, we're actively involved, Dr. Stanley, representing churches and defending churches and their ability to grow, build, and expand as they feel called to do. And I have to admit, that's one of the brightest horizons that we've seen just this last year and coming into 2005. And that is, in the successes we've seen, is with regards to defending the ability of churches to build and grow in communities. And we've had a really very high success rate with in defending them. I give you one example. Just recently, we've taken on, it's about a church called the Potter's House, and they've been told that they can't have their ministry there at their church to reach out to people and to help the needy. And we're representing them. Another case matter involved a Russian immigrant church. And those who receive our newsletter received some really good information about this. This is a church, okay? This is not in the Soviet Union, okay? These are Russian immigrants who came to America, came to Sacramento, and they're Christians. They have this church. They built the church, okay? The church seats 500. And it passed the fire district inspections. It passed all the health and safety inspections. They had a permit to build it. Everything was fine. And then, shortly after meeting in this church, the city of Sacramento pounded on them and said, oh no, you can't have 500 meeting here, only 120. And the reason is because there's not enough parking. Well, the church said, okay, fine. We have the land right next to it. We'll just expand our parking, right? Because they own the land, so the church says, we own the land, so we'll just expand the parking. The city says, oh, no, we're not going to let you expand the parking because we don't want any more parking in this area. So the church says, okay, fine. We'll have a shuttle that'll take people to the church from other parking area that is already a parking, paid parking. We have permission to use. The city said, oh, no, we're not going to let you use the shuttling system because our policy is you have to have so much parking for so many people sitting there. And we're not going to let you use the shuttle.
In other words, they basically were doing everything they could to block the church. I mean, it had nothing to do with parking. There was an anti-Christian bias. Would that be a fair assumption on your part or my part?
Without question. Without question. In fact, when we were contacted by this church, the pastor and some of the people, the members there, were just really shaken up because they thought, this is what we had in the Soviet Union. We didn't expect to have this here in America. And in fact, the children couldn't attend church because there wasn't enough room in the church. So the children stayed home, and so mostly men were in the church, the fathers, and then they had a number of them also met in a small two-car garage, and sometimes it was hot there in the two-car garage. That's how they were dealing with it. And so they contacted us, and we thought we'd get this matter resolved really quickly. But the city would not budge an inch, and so we had to take this and file this in federal court to bring the city of Sacramento to its knees.
I hope you went after the damages because, that's sometimes the only way to get them to see the light.
Oh, well, that's in the latter part. That's in the second part of the action. Right now we're seeking declaratory and injunctive relief against the city. But I can assure you that we will be seeking monetary reparations before everything is said and done.
I think the thing is that there are anti-Christian bigots working for government. In fact, they seem to migrate into that sort of work. They're anti-Christian bigots, and they will twist the law and use the law to their own advantage, and you never want to give people power of this sort. But of course, there are people who will misuse power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And so this is really what you're up against. And I'm sure the church would have a very, very difficult time even knowing how to go about doing it. The avid lawyer would have a difficult time. But Brad's an expert on this. He understands, you know, how to use the federal law. Don't go bother to go in the state courts. You won't get a fair shake. But there are federal laws there that, of course, kind of bring them to their knees. You're going to win this case, aren't you, Brad?
I think we are. It's really interesting. The judge, who I believe is a Christian, he told the city attorney. He said, "Now, city attorney, right now I'm in a situation where I have to, you know, possibly issue an order here." He says, "You know, I don't have to do this. Is there any way you can work this out?" And the city attorney says, "No, Your Honor, this is our policy." He says, "So you're telling me, counsel, that I have no choice. The only alternative I have to do is to issue an order, and that's the only alternative you're leaving me. That there's no way you can work this out." He says, "No, Your Honor." He says, So you want me, therefore, to make this decision to whether or not to issue an order against the city?" Well, the third time, the city, the person representing the city, you know, tugged on the lawyer and says, let's talk. And the judge says, "It seems to me like your client wants to talk with you. You want some time outside to talk with your client?" And so they did, and they came back. They said, "Your Honor, we're willing to, on a temporary basis, while we're trying to get this matter resolved, let the church meet there. But, we still waive our ability to keep the church out. Pending a final decision." So, they came a hair's razor's close to having a temporary restraining order issued against the city, and the judge gave them three chances to get it right. So that's a good sign, and I think the judge in the end is going to rule in favor of the church, but we're not letting up one bit. We intend to follow through, and we're even having video cameras and everything else, videotaping the outside of the church while churches are going on, just to make sure the city can't come up with some kind of bogus accusations that somehow they're causing some harm to the community in some way.
All right, well, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Alan. I should say Roger. How you doing?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. You may already be aware, I think it was Roland Huntford over like 30 years ago probably in his book, The New Totalitarians. And I'm thinking this guy may have been a secular atheist himself, but he was absolutely appalled that in Sweden at the time it was virtually impossible to build or even a replacement church because of they were being zoned out deliberately.
And really there is this bias against Christianity, and of course it's by these bigots who get into positions of government and power, and they're there because the good people are allowing them to be there, and if they knew it was going to cost them their job, they wouldn't. Well, that's why I certainly encourage Brad, to go after monetary damages, because that's the only way. When the city, of course, has to pay out a lot of money, and then of course the taxpayers are going to get unhappy with the city people in positions of power, and that's how you begin to bring pressure on these wicked people. And in my estimation, they are wicked people who are misusing their power because of their hatred of Christianity. Anything else, Roger?
God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, well, Brad, I think that's really an exciting case. I certainly hope that you'll win that one. But this is happening to a lot of churches. Aren't they trying all over this state to use the zoning restrictions to limit the freedom of Christians?
Oh, they're trying. But the truth is that the strongest area of the law that we're involved in is actually churches and land use and zoning issues. We've helped countless numbers of churches, not just in California, but like, for example, in DuPere, Wisconsin, we had a victory this last year. A little over a year ago, we had a victory in Pennsylvania, where the last caller called from a township there, where a family had a farm, and they had these worship services on their property, this farm area with no one around, okay? It's on the farm. And they tried to shut it down. We got a federal judge issue an injunction against that township to protect the ability for this family to glorify the Lord and have worship services and on their property. That's what we're about. And no matter where your audience may be hearing this program, if their church is having a difficulty on land use and zoning issue, they should not hesitate to give us a call, because once again, we don't charge a penny for our work. We pick up the cost, all the expenses. And we have a very high success rate of the churches that we've defended. I could go on and on all night just talking about the churches that we've successfully been able to defend. And God has been very gracious in the work that we've been doing in this regard.
Well, of course, I applaud your effort, and I'm just so glad that you're there, Brad, and I know that you're really helping an awful lot of people, because the churches on their own wouldn't be able to afford this. The government has all the money behind them. The city of Sacramento and the county of Sacramento have all sorts of tax money behind them and unlimited legal resources. And so the average individual coming up against them, it's a David and Goliath affair, but with you there, why, of course, David's going to win, aren't they?
Oh, well,
at least in many instances.
Yes, that's very true. We have seen the giant fall many times, and it's really nice because we don't live in a dictatorship yet. We don't have a totalitarian state yet. We still have laws.
Okay, we got Mike calling in. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I got a question. For the last 20 years or so, there's been this attitude with the CPS that people who teach their children the Bible in the home are abusing the children, and I wondered if you'd run across much of that sort of situation with the CPS complaining or attacking the family that way.
In other words, attacking the family because they're teaching the child about Christianity.
Yeah, well, they would be saying that the parents are abusing the children.
Have you run into that at all, Brad?
Yeah, actually, a number of years ago, there was a case matter really close to point on that in Bakersfield. A family was really committed to their church, and they took they basically were involved in church or church activities. I think like four evenings a week. They would get Sunday morning. They had three different other events and things. They're involved in their church, and the social worker was getting in, threatening to take the children because they thought that the children had too much religion. And that it was abusive and harmful to the children. That is the kind of mindset that we saw played there. They didn't prevail, but they sure tried to. And if we hadn't intervened and been involved, I think there's a good chance they would have taken the children.
Okay, Mike, you want to hang on? We'll be back in just a moment.
Thanks.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Brad Dacus. And Brad, let's get your telephone number and your website out just one more time.
Oh, sure. Our telephone number is 888-305-9129. That's 888-305-9129. And our webpage is simply pacificjustice.org. It's really interesting. We have an opinion poll there. Dealing with the lesbian case, I think we'll find real interesting. We'd love to hear the response and opinion poll. It's pacificjustice.org. And also, just to sign up before I forget, Dr. Stanley, I'm going to be actually speaking to a men's group in the San Jose area this coming Saturday morning. This coming Saturday morning. So if people are interested, they should just give our office a call. Email us, and we'll be happy to give them information about where that's going to be. I believe this is South Hills Christian Church in San Jose.
And in fact, Brad has an offer to come to any Christian group and give a talk to you. You will certainly come and talk just to try to get the information out to Christians across the state, won't you?
Oh, yeah, I do. It's completely without charge. Actually, I do a lot of guest preaching at churches. Just about every other Sunday now, and I do it completely without charge. I have a long list of references across all the basic denominations, and I love to do that as well. And or speak to different groups, community groups, Republican women's groups, whatever. I really enjoy doing that, and it's a real positive. It's not a doom and gloom message, because while we have these challenges, what I like to often focus on is the opportunities that we have that we're not taking advantage of. Which can be very encouraging.
And I think that what we have to do is, of course, just to fight the good battle as long as we can and hope maybe the Lord's going to intervene. But there are lots of things that can be done, certainly at least as far as we can get the cases before a jury, we can get the cases before a Christian judge. But the major thing, you have to have a lawyer that has the knowledge, has the staff, and has the support. And Brad's got, how many lawyers do you have working with you?
On staff, we have three attorneys, and then we also have legal intern programs and legal interns. But in addition to that, we have a huge network of over 1,000 volunteer affiliate attorneys nationwide that go to the mat. And you know, they take up 90% of the cost of a case is attorney fees usually. So if attorneys volunteer their time like they do for us, that means we have like a 10-to-1 leverage rate, you know, for our litigation budget. It gives us tremendous abilities to help out many, many, many more people than we would have otherwise.
Well, thank you so much for what you do, and I guess this evening's been Brad Degas, a friend. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed Brad. I consider Brad a personal friend. I know him very well. He's a very nice young man. Young because, of course, he's a lot younger than I am, but he's certainly learned an awful lot since he's been in this field. He's doing a great job. He has actually three full-time lawyers working with him. He has an intern program for people studying the law, and then, of course, he has about 1,000 attorneys all across America that are working with him, and they services pro bono. Now, they're not going to take every case, but they're going to take those cases that deal with religious persecution. And if you know somebody who's going to get into trouble with child abuse protection services, why, you get to Brad before they take the children, because once they've got the children, ladies and gentlemen, you may never see them again. This is what's happening in once free America, because the church has been silent. And the good people are just too busy to be involved. So our plea to you is get involved, get informed, and certainly help Brad. He's doing a great job. Well, this is the point. We simply want to suggest to our listeners that our website is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Go there, look at the items that we have, the tape sets, the videos, the books that we have. We carry the big Berkey products, you know, because if you have an area where you have impure water or fluoride in your water, you want to be able to get it out. And then, of course, we carry other items that help us, at least in part, in doing what we do 5 hours every day. We hope that many of you will want to get a copy of our latest newsletter. That's the November newsletter. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and just ask for a copy of the November newsletter. We have 4 tape sets on water fluoridation and aspartame, and on mercury, and on vaccinations, because they're using vaccinations to poison our children. And ladies and gentlemen, the current levels of influenza, they're trying so hard, the big propaganda machine's trying to get everybody to get their influenza shot. Why? Because the Public Health Service and the CDC are working hand in glove with the vaccine manufacturers, and they've got thimerosal in there, and that's going to destroy the brain of your child, just like the arsenic and the lead and the cadmium and the polonium 20 that they're putting in your water along with the fluoride are destroying the minds of your children. There's no safe level for lead. Why are they putting in the drinking water? Well, ask you, why would they do something that would harm children? Well, we've got evil people out there, and when you understand that, things begin to make a lot of sense. You need to get our videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get Megiddo 1, which is the excellent 2.25-hour video that'll give you the story of prophecy and then how it applies to World War One and World War Two and World War Three. We're in World War Three. They just haven't told you that yet. And then, of course, Megiddo 2 is a story, 3-hour-long, excellent video that gives you the story of creation right up to the present time and the occult influence, and this is the one that I'm in, and we take it, you'll see the Georgia Guidestones, where they talk about maintaining the population of the Earth at 500 million in constant balance with nature. What they're really talking about is the master plan to kill off over 90% of the world's population. There really are people out there who look at the world differently than you and I. You need to get our 4-tape set on population control. You need to get our 4-tape set, on genocide. You need to get our video on population control. You need to understand what's going on in the world today. Because if you don't, then you're not going to be active. And if you're not active, who will be? And if not now, when? Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Those videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3, the 4, or the 10-hour version. Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, my new video, None Dare Call It Genocide. Now, that is simply me talking, but there's a great deal of information there. We recommend it to you. If you haven't seen Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to see that video or read the book, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.